is wanting me to share this with your heart tonight, something that is always on my mind, something that is always resident in my spirit, and that is the confidence that God listens to us. Let me say that again. It's the absolute confidence and trust and hope and faith that God listens to us when we pray. I want you to think for a moment before you turn to the scripture I'm about to tell you, and I just want you to ponder for just a moment. What would it be like if no one ever listened to you? And let me say that again. What would it be like if no one ever listened to you? And I'll say this to adhere to that in a great way. Every one of us go through life with a wonder, does anybody ever listen to me? And I'm here in this pulpit area tonight to express to you that God always listens to you. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 33, a very famous verse that we all know, in verse 3. I could ask some of you to quote it, and I'm sure you'd be able to quote it immediately. Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And three things I'd like to share to you tonight about this particular verse. Number one, God is giving you and I an invitation. He is inviting us to call upon Him, to say something to Him, to bring our greatest joys and our deepest concerns. He's asking us to reach into the throne of grace and to take time out of our life and to speak to Him when we know that no one else probably would listen. Despair is a terrible feeling. Depression is a terrible emotion. Lack of faith is a fearful place to stand when the enemy's attacking. In the midst of a great worship service where it seems that all heaven has stopped just to hear you worship God with a sacrifice of praise, your lips, the fruit of your lips, giving thanksgiving unto Him, and you just know God's listening. That confident feeling that when you come out of a prayer room or a prayer closet or a prayer place or a place of prayer where you know you've been with God and He's heard every word that you said and you feel so good that you know your day is going to be beautiful. When you literally are there in a time where it seems that God Himself has tapped you on the shoulder and has given you an appointment card, and that appointment card says, I want to speak to you now. You're feeling that good. So on both ends of the spectrum and everything that is sandwiched in between, God is giving you and I an invitation to call Him. Now, I know we can be humorous, and let's just be there just for a moment. We've all made phone calls to companies to where you go through a menu system forever. You try to press this button to that button to advance that button, and then for somehow or another, you got a smarter person on the other side. I don't recognize what you just pressed. Please return to the prior menu. Or call again when you get the menu right. Or whatever it may be, but we never get through to where we really want to be. But with God, we're always there immediately when we speak to God in Jesus' name. The Bible is very clear on the effect that when we pray in the name of Jesus, the Father will do it. It's very clear in the effect that where two of us agree as touching the same thing upon this earth, it shall be done for them by the Father which is in heaven. Very clear in John 17 that Jesus was in a discussion about you and I, declaring that He has become one with us as they are one with each other, and the whole is now one together. The Holy Spirit that indwells within us, not only does he walk along our side, but he indwells within us. And I want you young people to clearly hear this tonight, that the Holy Spirit is with you. And even though you are seemingly in your life feeling pretty wise and pretty ahead of the game, and you're there and you're making decisions and not always being the right decision, but you're making decisions and you're feeling pretty good about that, the Holy Spirit is there with you at all times. He's walking along your side, the entitlement of Parakletos. He is God's gift, who is God, in your life. He is there to show you things to come and to testify of all truth and to speak only the things that the Father speaks. You have this comforter. I often think of the Holy Spirit just like a comforter. And everybody I know has had a comforter in their life where they snuggled up to it and held it and felt good and warm around them. And even sometimes in a time of great insecurity, they were like Linus in the comic book script of Peanuts. They went ahead and grabbed that blanket and they had that there with them, that sense of security. Young people, listen to me. The greatest sense of security that you'll ever have in this earth, on this earth, as you walk through this earth, is the Holy Ghost. And that gift did not come because of something that you decided to receive and have. That gift came as a gift from God. After you gave your heart to the Lord and you said, "Jesus, I repent of my sin. And I want you to move into my life and become my Savior." Along with that came the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But beyond that, then came the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit with fire. And you have this surrounding protection, this security, this comforter, that no matter where you're at, whether you're in a newly painted sanctuary or in a dark room, cold, frigid because of depression, unloved, uncared for, afraid, the Holy Spirit is there with you at all times. He never separates himself from you. And I want to just say this before I move on to the second point, is that when David wrote Psalm 51, when David was called by God, he was a young person. When he was anointed by the prophet Samuel, he was a young teenage boy coming in from the fields, tending sheep, which is not the prettiest and the cleanest and the most sought after job that you would want, but he knew what his calling was. When he came in and he was anointed by Samuel, he received his future. And when a young person receives the Holy Ghost, and when they receive that which God has called them to do and to become, they have received their future. So every decision that you make from there on must be a decision that is inclusive with the Holy Spirit helping you make that decision. David said this in Psalm 51. He not only did he say that created me a clean heart and restore a right spirit within me. But one of the main things that he said, and most people overlook because they talk about the right spirit and the clean heart, they forget the one thing that he said loudly and clearly: take not your Holy Spirit from me. He knew what it would be to walk without the Holy Ghost. He knew what that would feel like because he had so much of God in him. But he could remember the days when he was just with the sheep and the Holy Spirit was not upon him. But he also remembered then how it was to slay the bear and slay the lion and take the lamb out of the mouth and bring it back tenderly back to the fold and protect the sheep. That he could not have done that on his own. And I want to say to you, young person, tonight, you must count on God. God must be part of your life at all times. And he is giving an invitation not only to you,
But to the young adult and to the youth pastors and to all the people that attend this church tonight in this sermon, he is giving an invitation by saying, call to me. He doesn't say call somebody else. He doesn't say call my enemies. He doesn't say call your friend. He says there is a moment of time where he is stating to you, call to me. And I'll tell you, the moment of time that you have is when you're about to make a decision that may cause you a lifelong difficulty of despair. Sometimes, and I'm going to use something here tonight that is a young thought, because I'm trying to capture the mind of not only the youth pastors, but the young people tonight and everyone else that's here, is when I see the television advertisements of this was the text that I was texting before my accident. I think about when they thought about making the text, did they include in that decision, should I text now at this mile per hour? Or when I'm tempted by somebody to do something else in life that is a sin, and I know it's a sin, and I'm tempted, and I make the decision to fall into temptation, have I stopped, and did I ask the Holy Spirit to be inclusive in my decisions? You know, we're very great at being human, because we are. We're really great at asking for forgiveness instead of permission. We're really great of repenting after the fall, but we knew before we fell we were about to do something wrong. But thank God for His grace and His mercy that sees us further down the road than we see ourselves. That's why He says, call to me. He's giving an invitation. He's sending you an invitation, and he wants an RSVP. He wants to know, are you going to include me? Are you going to call upon me? You know, when I think about young people today and the stress and the pressures that are upon their life, when I read the news articles and those statistics that are written with the thoughts that and the temptations that they are placed in every day at high school, at college level, at junior school, and the times that what's being put upon them and what the decisions that they're being pressed to make so they can be included with the in crowd. But the greatest crowd that you'd ever want to be in with is the church crowd. A crowd of people that pray, that fast, that trust God, have a hope in God, have a hope for tomorrow, no matter what today looks like. But to walk with the wrong group in your life and to do the things that may cause you difficulty down the road, you need to take time in Jeremiah 33:3 and call to God. Call to God. And I promise you this, I can guarantee little in life, but I can promise you this for sure. Any moment of time, wherever you're at, whenever you're going to speak to God, He will hear you and listen, and He always answers you. He always will respond, especially when it's a declaration where I'm about to do something and I'm unsure of, and I may cause myself some problems in life. Father, give me direction. He will respond. He'll respond in power. He'll respond in the knowledge of His Word. He'll respond with the comfort of His Holy Spirit. And He'll respond with the revelation of just who He is in your life. I want to ask you a question. How important is God to you tonight? How important is He in your life? How important is He in your mind? The Bible declares that we should be renewing our mind daily. The Bible declares that our mind simply gets so filled up with things that the enemy tries to destroy us through his words into our mind. But if we will put on that helmet of salvation, in other words, if we will know just who our Savior is, and we will know that He is the high priest and the apostle of our calling, that we will know that He is the captain of our salvation, that He is the one that gave himself for us, that you and I would be able to praise him and acknowledge him and have a gift from him that no man can do. No man can produce the Holy Ghost. No man can produce the drops of blood that poured out of his scarred body that day, and drips of blood that came down his face and brought, saturated the ground at the cross's base. No man can produce that. But God can say to you that he can produce in you a great life. He can produce in you a destiny that all hell would love to have, but they can't because they have failed God and there's no salvation for them. He can produce in you the beauty of holiness, and he can produce in you the goodness of his grace, the power of his mercy, and the overwhelming reward of your faith that he has. He can bring that to pass in your life if you'll just listen when he calls back to you. Secondly, the Bible says that I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. It states there that he will bring things into your life. He promises that he will answer you. The Bible is very clear on this one subject, that God cannot lie. He cannot lie. He will always speak to you in such a way that you'll know it's God. Now, I can tell you that there is a lot of voices that we can hear throughout a day. Let's go through just a few of them. We can hear our own voice, our subconscious, telling us to do something. We can hear the voice of our mom or our dad telling us to get out of bed or telling us to do something. We can hear the voice of our friends trying to press us into doing something that's ungodly, unholy, unrighteous, sinful, disgraceful, and would bring embarrassment not only to you but to your family. We can hear the teacher saying something to us in the room, and we can hear the teacher speaking and trying to teach us something that will hopefully help us in life. We can hear friends talking as we walk by them. We can hear music going through our iPods. We can hear the music that we have pushed the button to listen to. Hopefully it's praise music. Hopefully it's a music that will adore God and bring praise to God and acknowledge him as the God of your salvation. But you hear those voices. You hear those songs. You even hear yourself when you speak out loud when you're walking, or you say something out loud and because you wanted to respond that you saw something that was awesome and you go, awesome! You hear the television when you get home, your favorite sitcom. You listen to that attentively. You also hear your mind saying you're tired. It's time to go to bed, and you argue with that. And then you finally submit to rest and you put your head on the pillow. And even in your sleep, you hear voice that will speak to you and maybe bring dreams into your life. But the one voice I haven't mentioned is that you'll hear the voice of God throughout the day if you'll listen. You need to train yourself through prayer and through fastings and through reading the Bible on hearing God's voice, knowing what his voice sounds like and speaking to you. Because the enemy will also try to talk to you. He will try to tempt you. He will try to bring things into your life, and he will try to torment you. He'll try to press you. He'll try to break you. He'll try to mold you. He'll try to shape you into his destiny for you in the guise of what God really has for you. That's why the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the tearing down of strongholds. Those strongholds are trying to tear into your mind and bring you into a place of being submissive to the enemy of our soul. God promises, after the invitation, he promises to hear. He promises to answer. And he promises to show you things, great and mighty things. I love God because he never does anything small. One man said years ago, he said this, God loves a great parade. God never does anything small. He always does things great. He always does things in such a way that you can say, I have been in the presence of a holy God. I have been where God would have me to be. I have heard the voice of God. Just think about when David prayed after he sinned. Let's talk about the two voices that he heard. The number one voice was the voice that he heard when he was sitting on the throne that day, thinking he was David on the throne. He had a kingdom that was promised to him by God. The second voice he heard that day was the voice of Nathan the prophet, speaking to his heart, David's heart, telling him that he was the man that stole the ewe lamb from that person. And David realized at that point that he had sinned against God. You see, we can become so caught up in our relationship with God that we feel that we can't do anything wrong. That no matter what we do, it's going to be all right. And today's generation is so caught up with all the graphics and all the things that are going on around them that they're caught in a whirlwind of imagery. That they have forgotten the presence and the image, the stamped image of the Holy Ghost, of the living God on the heart of every individual that is called upon His name. The third voice he heard was his own, crying out to God in a 7-day fast prior to writing Psalm 51. Realizing that what he had done has caused him to be separated from God. I'm going to say this before I go any further, and the Holy Spirit just put this in my heart. I know why I'm saying it. I just hope you do. Sin separates you from God. Pastor, we're in the day of grace. Yes, we are. Somebody say, thank God. We're in a dispensation of grace. Somebody say, thank God. But God has never changed. Sin separates you and I from God if we sin and continue therein. Continue to walk in it. We begin to walk from God, not towards God. We begin to leave the throne of grace and not staying in the throne of grace. We begin to cheapen the grace, that unmerited favor that has been given to us, received by faith. The salvation that we have was purchased, and it wasn't cheap. We cheapen it by our decisions. So what I'm saying to you is that God is responsible for your life. David realized that day. He realized he had become so righteous in himself that he felt he was responsible for his life and everybody's soul in that kingdom. So responsible that he took a woman, stole that woman from a husband that was actually protecting the kingdom for David to reign in. Took her, married her, murdered him, and he felt good about it. You see, sin can trick you. Sin can make you feel so comfortable in your decision to do something, it has tricked you into destroying your destiny. Look at your neighbor tonight and say, I'm keeping my destiny. Say it out loud now. I'm keeping my destiny. The destiny that God has given me. Come on, say it now. The destiny that God has given me.
The destiny that God has given me.
And I am not going to let the enemy take it from me. He heard his voice crying out to God, and he was willing to surrender everything he wanted to hear from God. He wanted at that point. Now hear me, here it is. Now listen to me, are you with me? I know I've taken you out there in some water someplace and you're swimming with me right now. And believe me, there's a Holy Ghost life jacket on you. But he got to the place to where now he was waiting on God's decision for his life. He had walked away from waiting on God's decisions. He didn't ask God, God, should I call Bathsheba up to my apartment? He didn't ask God, should I murder her husband? He didn't ask God, should I marry her? He did all this on his own. Now, after he has been bewildered by his decisions and caught up in such a rut of self-righteousness, and he could do no wrong, and it's okay. His checklist matching to God's checklist, his checklist was more important. It was okay. It didn't matter who he hurt. It didn't matter why he did it. It was for self-gratification of his own life and to feel good. But now he's listening to God. He's waiting on the decision from God. And I love what the Lord says here thirdly. Not only does God give you an invitation, not only does he give you a promise, but God answers in a large venue. God answers in a prosperity that we cannot contain. God answers in such a way that the Bible declares right here very clearly, show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I want everybody, you don't have to say it out loud, but I really want you to get it in your spirit. I don't know everything. When it comes to how much God knows and how much we know very little. We hope our tomorrow will be good. We hope when we leave the sanctuary tonight where we are gathered together in his name and to worship him, we hope that when we get home, everything's going to be all right. We hope that next week will be fine. We hope that the relationships we're trying to keep will solidify and stay as one. We hope that our friendships will continue and we'll be able to walk in the power and the anointing of God every day of our life. But it all based on one thing here tonight. Whether or not you are willing to make decisions where God is in the center of your decision. So no matter what you're about to do, no matter what you're thinking in your life, is God part of your decision-making process? God said, call him. He'll answer. He will show you great and mighty things that you know not. God wants to show you something you don't know. God wants to show you where you're going. God wants to show you who you are. God wants to show you just where he can take you. The Bible declares, I said at the beginning of this message, that the Holy Spirit, the Paracletos, comes and shows you things to come. When is the last time, young person, you spent time not with your friends, not wondering how you can get by doing something and not get caught, or just all by yourself wishing you could just stay alone, but spent time with God saying to God, God, show me my destiny. Show me the steps that I need to walk in my destiny, that I can walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I can walk with my shoulders back, my chin up. By the way, the Bible says he is a shield about us and the lifter of our chin. He's a bulwark that fails not. He's a shelter and a pavilion. He's the rock that's much higher than we are. But I'm going to spend time with God, and I'm going to know that he's going to talk to me about things. You see, when you get the familiarity of God's voice in your life, there is nothing like it, to where he speaks to you and you know what he is saying is from his throne of grace, and he is ministering to your spirit. And I'll say this to you tonight, God never tells you to sin. Oh, I know some of you Bible scholars that are here tonight want to go back into the Old Testament and talk to me about Gomer. Talk to me about that prostitute who married the prophet. That was a sinful action that had to happen. But God had to show Israel what they had done. How they had gone and began to just be harlot away from God. Let me tell you something. We're not living in the Old Testament. But the same God who was God there is the God in the New Testament. And he has the same capabilities, the same willingness, and the same desire to see humanity saved and sanctified and making decisions that will bring glory to his name and bring a life to you that is full of providence, full of prosperity, full of love, full of mercy, and full of power. Praise God. Don't raise your hand to this question. Please don't. But how many would like to change some decisions that they've made recently? How many would like to change some decisions they've made in their life? They made those decisions. It's over. Here's the good news. God's willing to forgive. God is willing to draw you forth. God is willing to place you right where he wants you to be. God is willing to forgive you. God is willing to touch your life. You say, Pastor, why are you preaching this tonight? I can't believe I'm sitting here. This is touching my heart. You're saying something to my soul and my spirit right now. And I want to run out of here because I don't know whether or not I'm ready to really be that Christian, be that person. Because I got everybody looking at me just the way I am. And I can do so good. And I can walk the white step. And I can say this and do that. And I can be right there. And everything's fine. Let me tell you something. Take all humanity out of the picture. It's you and God. How do you look to God tonight? How do you look to God tonight? We're in a generation today that simply wants to be a generation of dynamic imagery. They want to look the part, but they didn't create the design. Listen to what I just said. You want to look the part, but you did not create the design. You simply want to look like a Christian, but the design wasn't created by you. So you want to put on a false look. You want to put on an imagery that says, look, I am a Christian, but the soul and the heart are dark and they're uncomfortable. They're unable to speak to God. There's not a relationship that's really there. Let me tell you something, my friend. Let me tell you a bit of really deep knowledge. And I tell you, listen to this. Don't let this go by your ear gates and fall to the floor somewhere. Don't look to men for your design. Don't look to see what others are doing and it seems that they're getting away with it, that it's okay. Don't look to anybody because this is they do it. It's okay then if they do it and they're respected and I'll do it. I want you tonight to say no more of that. I want you to take it and push that aside and move it over there and do this. And say, from now on, I am going to look to my God only. I am going to want to be in the image of Jesus Christ. I want that same mind that was in Christ Jesus to be in me. I want to have that attitude of Christ. I want to walk with him. I want to talk with him. And I want him to design me, dress me, mold me, shape me, fill me, pour me out and make me into who he wants me to be. I'm not any longer going to look at that. I've turned that upside down. It's over. I'm not going to look to people, my peers, to see how great they are and what they're getting away with. I am going to look to a holy God. I'm going to face the Bible, and the Bible is not going to be examined by me, but I'm going to open up the Bible and let the light of the gospel examine me, praise God, and show me in my life just who I am and how I need to become more like Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, who I have an image of in my life, but not the proper design thereof. I want Christ in my life. I want to walk with Jesus. I want to be a leader. I want to be someone who's going to stand up for who God wants me to be like. I want to be like Christ. I don't want to look anymore to see what others are doing so I can be popular. Matter of fact, popularity is not part of it anymore. What's part of it now is, how do I mirror to Jesus Christ? And you say, well, I'm out of adjustment, Pastor.
I'm out of adjustment. I just can't really get there. I'm letting my emotions dig into me and work me and push me and shape me. And I'm just so tired. I can't fight. I've submitted to that. Let me tell you something. Stand up and make your way to God somewhere and kneel down and say, God, I'm being shaped by hands that are unfamiliar. I'm hearing words, God, that are telling me to do things that are unholy. I'm being pressed on all sides, Father, and I'm trapped and I don't know what to do. Would you just hear me? The Bible says He's invited you to call upon Him. The Bible says that He will answer you. The Bible says He will show you things. Not just things, but great and mighty things that you know not. If you don't know what to do, call on Him. He'll show you what to do. Amen. He'll show you what to do. Let me take you to a very familiar scripture here for a moment, if we can. And I'm going to close with this. One of the most popular scriptures in the mid-90s, preached everywhere, spoken everywhere, because it was sent into speakers' lives, both evangelists, pastors, teachers, apostles, and prophets, all across America and throughout the world. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name, now, you remember what I just spoke to. If my people who are called by my name, if that's all, we should just realize, okay, I'm called by His name. I'm all right. It didn't say that there. This is what it said. Who are called by my name will humble themselves. Start to walk in humility and start to walk with the sense that it's God in you. And that's what's so important. It's God in you. Not you in God, but God in you. This isn't a visitation message where you just visit God one day and you feel pretty good and everything's all right and the whole world's spinning around you and how you have it made and it's beautiful and everything's taken care of and I'll just visit church and visit God, visit my youth group, visit my ladies' ministries group, visit my men's fellowship group, visit all around and I'll just kind of get the feely and touchy all over the church and feeling good about everything. Then when I leave here, I'm going to be who I really am. This is about God in you. God never visits you. You let Him in and He never left. Amen. If my people who are called by my name, by the way, if you call yourself a Christian, you are saying I am Christ-like or like Christ. If you're not a Christian and you're acting like a Christian, I say this. Change your name or get with the program. The program of God's love, God's presence, God's power in your life. And pray and seek my face. Wow, that seems novel, to pray and to seek God's face. But that's how we're supposed to in our decision-making process, is to pray and to seek God's face. Now, don't misunderstand me. It's okay to have someone you go to and say, what do you think about my decision I'm about to make? I've really prayed about it. I've sought God's face, and this is what I feel like God is saying to me. Can you pray with me? What do you feel about this? Nothing wrong with that at all. As a matter of fact, there's wisdom in that. Think about that, about the many times that you may have done something wrong. Wouldn't it have been better if you would have humbled yourself at that moment? Prayed and sought God's face and waited for an answer from Him? Wouldn't it have been better if you could have looked at your friends and say, you know, I just don't think I'm going to be part of that, because I don't think the God who I serve would be proud of me to do that. I think I'm going to go ahead and take a stand for Jesus Christ today. You say, Pastor, I'm not going to be popular anymore. I might not get invited to the parties. You know what? There's a party coming. There is a party coming. And I'm not going to miss that party for this world.
It's going to be a party in heaven that no man has ever seen or been part of before. It's going to have a supper like we've never had before. We're going to dance on streets of gold. We're going to shout victory. We're not going to feel pain. We're not going to feel sorrow. We're not going to cry a tear. There's not going to be any more death, but we're going to be in the presence of a holy God. I'm not missing that party for a party down here on this earth that's going to either cause me to die or have me lose my soul, or regret that I do something for the rest of my life, or maybe on the way home, beginning to text, and I never make it home. I think it's time we listen to the voice of God, seek His face. The Bible says then, and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. Maybe young person, maybe you've been praying, but your ways are wicked. Maybe you've been seeking God with an alternative plan. Maybe you've been seeking God with pride. And that's why you haven't heard from God. Because when God said, "With my people would humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, if they would seek, pray, and seek my face." In other words, God is saying, here is the element of the process. You need to call upon me. You need to turn from the wicked ways. You need to seek my face. He said, and then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Let me say this to you. Your sin cannot continue in you if you'll ask for forgiveness from God. If you're here and you're thinking you want to continue with sin, you're making the worst decision of your life. Sin has an ultimate ending, and it's death. God's love has an ultimate ending, and it's life eternal with Him. And let's look at this real quick. I'll heal your land. Let me spiritualize that tonight quickly. There is a part of your life that's hurting right now. There's a part of your life that you're probably a little disgraced about. There's a part of your life that you simply hope no one knows about. It's the secret part of your life. I'm speaking to everybody in this room. It's a part of your life that's hidden, that you've never let anybody else in, but you know that you've not even let God in there. This is your kingdom to where you feel it's all yours and no one else has a right to it. God wants to heal that land tonight. God wants to heal that land. God wants to go in and make sure that that land is as fruitful as the land that you have allowed God to have, that you've allowed God to sow into by His word, that you've allowed God to minister to you on your rules, not God's rules. That the boundaries that you have set for God to be able to be in the playground of your life. But He's never been invited into this secret land that you have. You see, we see a lot of things, a lot of imagery today. We see a lot of movies. We see a lot of sitcoms. We see a lot of things that does not include the presence of God or the holiness of God, just the imagery of God. God is more than an image. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth, and He created you, and He has bought you with a price. He's filled you with His glory, and He wants every part of your soul, your heart, your mind, every part of your bones, your sinew, every part of your being. He wants you to breathe the air of His mercy and power and grace, knowing that through your prayers of faith that He will answer you and show you things that you do not know. God is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that you ask or think according to that power that dwelleth within you. God wants all of you. Amen. Yes. And that's what I've come by to tell you tonight. God wants you. He doesn't want to share you at all. He wants you.
But there's a decision that has to be made. Now, we're back to the decision process. I've got to make a decision. Now, which voice do I listen to? Do I listen to my pre-experience with Jesus' voice? Saying, you don't have to do this. It's fine. You're all right. Do I listen to that voice that says, I've been saved. I'm okay. I've got my Bathshebas. I've got my sins well hidden, and I have a right. I'm a child of God. My mom and dad, they attend church. I have a right. I have a heritage. I belong to a church denomination. I belong to a church movement. I belong to a great group of people. I belong to a great youth group. I have a right. Or do we listen to that voice that you're hearing from me tonight saying something's not lining up with God? Something's not right. But I feel something's reaching inside of me right now, shaking me and saying, I want all of you. I want you to love me. I want to love you. I want to be part of your life. I want to show you things that you don't even know are coming your way. They're great. They're wonderful. I've got a destiny for you that is so awesome. If you'll just hang on with me, if you'll just embrace my word, if you'll just trust in what I have to say, if you'll just pray, if you'll just keep me in your decision-making process, if you'll turn away from these people that are causing you to sin and turn towards me that'll cause you to be rebuilt within, if you'll just be with me. I will show you things that are so awesome and so wonderful that go beyond the imagery of this world. I will show you glory. There. And then you'll be able to make a decision by saying, you know, God, I want you more than anything. I'll close with this thought. So I was driving down the road last night, a prayer that I have prayed many times, knowing the intense attacks that I've been under in these last several months, things I don't talk about and that are the enemy trying always to attack me because of the ministry that God has given me to reach into darkness and to pull out those in darkness into light. I've prayed this prayer and I spoke it last night driving down a dark road. Out loud I said, God, no matter what happens in my life and no matter what voice comes to me to try to destroy what I'm doing for you, I will always serve you. You say, preacher, you're just saying that. You don't know me. I hope one day you really get to know my heart. I will serve you no matter what. Pastor, share me your greatest regret. The greatest regret that I have is knowing as a 12 and 13 year old boy that God was calling me, and I turned to sin instead. And from the moment I knew that I was called, even as a boy not in Pentecost, in another faith, I knew that God had a calling on my life. I turned to sin and spent the next 17 years almost in evil. Literally in evil. My biggest regret is the hundreds of people, the thousands of people that I could have touched for Jesus Christ. How old are some of you today? Would you like to stand in a pulpit when you're 62 years old and tell them that you missed approximately 17 years of your life? Serving the enemy, feeling comfortable in doing wrong, and the thousands of young people and others that you could have touched by the power and the anointing of God. I have no regrets today. Since I gave my heart to the Lord, I've never looked back. And I've spent the time reaching in the darkness, pulling out people into His marvelous light. I want to say to you tonight, young person and everybody in this building, do you know what your destiny is? And do you know who has designed your life? And do you know what God has for you in such a great way that you're willing to say to everything else, no matter what, I will serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory.